is your name?
Rosemary Bolger.
What year were you born?
1956.
Where were you born?
Dublin.
What did your parents do?
They were tailors.
What is your job now?
Tailor, a waistcoat maker.
What inspired you to get into tailoring?
My parents.
Can you tell us about any challenging obstacles?
Before I came to work here at Anderson & Shepherd, I went to work at Huntsman's and I didn't get on there. They didn't work the same way that I was used to working, the way my father had taught me. So it was, I left there and I came to work here. And this firm works the same way, makes the same kind of soft garments that my father did.
So could you tell us a little bit more about the differences between Huntsman and where you were used to?
Well, it's two categories. One is the garments themselves. They were far more solid. Loads and loads of tiny little stitches everywhere that don't really do anything but just make it immovable. Like it doesn't move with you when you're moving, you know? Clothes are supposed to do that. A suit is supposed to do that. The other thing was it was more austere there. The people there were more austere. And this is going back 30-odd years, so it's probably different now.
Tell us about your first job in tailoring.
My first official job was being trained by my father. I say official because I used to earn extra pocket money padding lapels and collars when I was still at school. I went to work for my father when I left school and he trained me. Yeah.
What age were you when he trained you?
I left school at 17.
Can you tell us about any significant people involved in your training?
Father and my mother.
Can you tell us about any challenging aspects of your career?
No, I wouldn't say I've had any real problems. Not really. No, I think I've been very lucky. Yeah. Yeah.
Getting a job as well?
Yes. When I came to work here, I just literally walked in through the front door and said, "Gis a job." And that was Mr. Albury that I talked to then. And he gave me a trial and then took me on.
So was it the same at Huntsman? Or did you do an apprenticeship there?
No. I went there because I'd already been trained by my father. I actually went there and I was working. I was working for a while on jackets and then for a while on trousers. But as I said, it didn't work out. So when I came here, I started working on waistcoats, which is what I do. And I went in with Len Gunderson. He was the waistcoat maker here then. Now, he'd been a waistcoat maker here since before the war. And I went in with him for a couple of weeks, and he went through it with me. And then I was out on my own.
Can you describe the area when you first started?
It's not much different than it is today, really. I mean, Savile Row doesn't change that much, really. I think it's slightly more relaxed, slightly more informal now. Then it was a lot more formal. But, yeah.
How did your career progress after you finished your training?
Oh, well. Well, as I say, no, I didn't have any problems, no.
Can you tell us about the history or the style of your house?
We started in 1906, I think it was, this firm. And the style, as I say, is soft. It's there's more material in the jacket, and so it's softer and it feels more comfortable. Customers often say they don't feel like they're wearing anything, which is very nice. It's what we like. And the waistcoats that I make, I think the main difference is seams. There's a seam down the front centre of the DB ones. Again, that gives you a bit more shape and a bit more ease.
Can you explain the techniques you use?
Could you be more specific?
Skills.
Tailoring. I suppose it's mainly handwork. There's very little machining. You sew on the pocket welts by machine, but the rest is handwork. And on waistcoats especially, because they're so small, you don't have any specific measurements. There's not, you know, the pockets to be so many inches away from the side seam. It's all, you go by eye, what looks nice on that shape, the shape of the customer.
Tell us about the important tools of your trade.
The important tools, thimble. Thimbles, needles. Hand silk rather than man-made fibre, because the silk gives.
How has the cut and style changed over time?
Not at all. Not in the waistcoats. I have done alterations to dress waistcoats, and I did an alteration to one that was actually made in 1927. And when I open it up, it's done exactly the same way. Exactly the same stitches in the same place, and he said, I could have made it, you know. It really is the same way.
Can you tell us about the relationship between different tailors and houses over time?
Well, it used to be a bit more a bit more antagonistic between the different tailors' houses. Now it's more friendly. I think the number of Savile Row firms has shrunk, and so it's more of a community now.
Tell us about some of those antagonistic.
Oh, well, you know, it would just be if you went to the local pubs and there was tailors there from another house or that, you'd have comments made about the other suits, and we all think we're the best.
What was your most memorable job?
Well, I don't see the customers. The only time I see the customers is when they want to meet us, and usually that's to give us compliments. So it's always nice.
Tell us about experiences you've had with your colleagues at work.
Experiences.
Good or bad?
Oh, good or bad. Again, I think I've been very lucky. I haven't really had any bad experiences. I get on with just about everybody downstairs. No, I have very good experiences, just very helpful. We borrow things from each other all the time and ask each other's advice on different things. If you get yourself. Yeah,
how do you feel about the division of labour within the trade?
The division of labour. Well, with this firm, we make a complete garment. I know in other firms you can get where it's broken up. So someone would make a jacket forepart and other people would put in the jacket sleeves and that. But I find that that's not a good way of doing it. I find you have more pride if you're making the garment complete. Oh, of course. Well, I mean, the tailors technically aren't employed. We're self-employed. We're on piecework. So that brings a whole different thing. You don't get, you have no security of employment. And you have no, with this firm, I get holiday pay, and they pay into a pension for me, but that's voluntary. They don't have to do that, and other firms don't necessarily. So,
what are the advantages and disadvantages about being specialised in your
craft? Oh, advantages. You always have work. I don't think I could ever be out of work because I could always get a job. I could always earn a living tailoring. Once you get to this level of tailoring, this standard, you can always earn a living. You'll never be out of work. The disadvantages, you can only earn as much as you can make with your hands. You reach a limit and then that's it. You're never going to make easy money. You're never going to think up an idea that's going to make you money. It's what you make with your hands. So.
Tell us how you think Savile Row has developed in terms of technology.
Very little. Very little.
How do you go about quality control?
You're your own quality control. As I say, you do take pride in what you do. I mean, your name's on the ticket. So.
Looking back, is there anything you would have done differently in your career?
No, I can't think of anything. Not really.
How does training differ now to how it used to be?
Nowadays you tend to get people from college that have already done a couple of years in being taught tailoring before they come here. So in some ways that's good because it gets rid of the people who simply wake up one morning and think, oh, I think I'd like to be a tailor. I'll go down to a tailor's, get a job. And after a couple of weeks, they get fed up and leave because it's hard work. So I think that's better, really.
What qualities does a person need to work in this business?
To be a tailor, to work as a tailor, you need to have the skill, the ability to sew. You need, as I say, because we're self-employed, you need to have self-discipline. You know, you don't have to clock in or clock out. So you have to have a lot of self-discipline. Yeah.
Take us through your typical working day.
I come in usually around between 7:30 and I make waistcoats. yeah, that's what I do. Usually go home around 5.
What are the difficulties in a male-dominated environment?
Difficulties. Well, it's very nice being surrounded by all these nice young men all the time. Years ago, there was a certain amount of sex discrimination, but that was actually less so in this industry than other industries, and you don't really get a problem with it. Well, I don't get a problem with it now. It's a lot less.
Were there any particular instances you remember?
Well, there's young trainees, female trainees, are referred to as kippers. And that is used to be, and that is because they tended to go around in twos. And that was safety. Yeah. But like I say, that's a very old expression, so. No, these days anybody tried to take advantage of the young girls, there are a million laws that would just stop them.
So as a self-employed person, has the union ever been part of your working life?
Well, I belong to the union. I've belonged to the union for 30 years. But I've never had to use them. I mean, I use them in terms of other things, like their lawyers and that, if I want to make a will or something like that. But no, I've always found it, if you're negotiating anything to do with change of circumstances, or you think something should get paid more, I always find it's best to talk to the bosses themselves, you know.
Do they do any industry-wide negotiation?
They do, but the trouble is that the industry-wide is for mainly factories, and it's just a totally different thing than Savile Row tailoring, so we don't really pay much attention. I mean, like, I think it was last year or the year before, the union got a 2% or no, it's a 1.5% pay rise. Well, we got a 2.5% pay rise. So, you know, we're separate from them. Although technically we're under their umbrella.
Where do you see the future of Savile Row?
Funny, if you'd asked me that about 10 years ago, I'd say in trouble. But now, I think it's a lot more healthy. There's, we have a lot more trainees, and yeah, see a definite future.
I'd like to take you back to being trained by your father. It's very different to anyone else's story. Mm. So could you perhaps talk us through how that works for you, what was beneficial and what was problematic?
Well, my father, although he worked in Savile Row, he wasn't trained in Savile Row. He was trained by the RAF, strangely enough. At the end of the war, the way they retrain the soldiers, and the RAF had a pretty good retraining scheme, and they sent him up to a little place just outside Liverpool for a few years. And they really did train them to Savile Row standard. There was no messing about. And so, as I say, when I was at school, I used to pad lapels and collars for him, extra pocket money in that. And then when I left school, I went to work for him, and he just started training me straight off to put in pockets. And I found it easy. I was always interested in it. But as I say, I would be, because my mother was a tailor as well, so... I mean, she said she used to teach me how to do little embroidery things, and she was teaching me that before I was of school age, so always there.
So was there any difficulties being trained by your dad?
Long hours, because... He had his own business, so he was a one-man business. And if you had a lot of customers come in during the day, then he wouldn't get the tailoring done. So we'd have to stay late and get what we had to do done.